When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press. It's a little bit of a late Monday edition of the show. It's about 8:30 p.m. on a Monday evening. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. Hopefully we've got plenty to talk about, plenty to enjoy this week. Lots of winnings, hopefully. We've got the Memorial this week, which we're going to talk about today. Opening lines, first reactions to the field, stuff like that. We've got a full slate otherwise this week. Tuesday, we will go over the model for the event, go over horses for courses, those types of things, current form. And then on Wednesday, we've got a big slate of events to get to. We've got LIV in Houston. We've got the LPGA in the Atlantic City area. We've got the DP World Tour with the Ladies European Tour in a mixed event in Sweden. We've got the Champions in Wisconsin, and we have the Korn Ferry Tour in South Carolina. Not promising we'll get to all of those things on Wednesday, but we've got a lot of things to talk about. But most people come here to listen to talk about the PGA Tour, so that's what we've got on the slate for today. We've got the Memorial Tournament this week. Jack's hosting at Muirfield Village Golf Club in Dublin, Ohio, just outside of Columbus. I've been to this event a couple of different times over the years. My sister-in-law used to live in the Columbus area, so I made it really easy to cover the tournament. I really do like covering it. It's well done. They take care of the media. They do a great job there. It's just a really well-executed event. The golf course is great. I really do like Muirfield Village. If you've ever heard me talk about golf course architecture, I'm not sure how big that Venn diagram is between golf bettors and golf course architecture people, but I'm not the biggest fan of Jack Nicklaus designed golf courses. He went through a lot of different funks in his career, some with just crazy greens toward the tail end of his career that are just unplayable and insane. Then there was the kind of early stage of his career where he built golf courses basically to favor his game that favored a fade and high fade at that. And if you hit any kind of hook, good luck. You know, that wasn't going to work for him. And then there was kind of, you know, he's done some very good ones. And there's also been a bunch of clunkers. But this is his masterpiece. This is his best course by far. And that he keeps tinkering with it to make it incrementally different. You know, you can argue whether it's better or not. But I think the net positive of the changes over the year is clear. He's made the course better. It has a wide variety of holes, a wide variety of shots demanded. You got to be able to play your ball. You got to be able to golf your ball to have a chance on this golf course, which is almost always in spectacular condition. Last 4 years or so, this tournament has been exceptionally difficult scoring-wise. You might find someone who gets into the 12, 13, 14 under par range. That can absolutely happen. But he has been trying to set up this place for the last several years as an anti-scoring golf course, almost to try to be the U.S. Open that the U.S. Open is not being. He wants it to be 4-inch rough, relatively narrow fairways, very firm and fast greens. He wants players to have to execute precise shots from tee to green all day long. And he's been able to achieve that, even with renovations and, you know, all kinds of work done to the property. So expect the same this week. You are expecting tough scoring conditions. Tough, way tougher than you saw at Valhalla for the PGA Championship. Probably even tougher than you will see at Pinehurst number 2 next week. Okay? This is going to be a it's going to be a tricky week to score. It's going to be tough. Okay? So, that all said, we have 72, 73 players in the field. 73. Bob McIntyre withdrew. He's replaced, I believe, by Davis Thompson because of the swing five thing. He's one of the only players that can be replaced. Those swing five players or the next 10 players, if they withdraw, they can be replaced. The other players cannot be replaced, which is kind of interesting. There is a cut this week. Top 50 in ties after 36 holes, and any player within 10 shots of the lead, which hypothetically means every player could still make the weekend. You could be in the top 10 or top 50, or you could be within 10 shots of the lead, or both. It could be every player in the field could be in there. Will that happen? Almost certainly not. There are some exemptions, like Brant Snedeker, who you would think would be relatively unlikely to do well, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But it is not a free. It is not a freebie, right? There's no guarantee your player is going to make the weekend. So you need to be cognizant of that. If you're going to YOLO a little bit, go for some deeper shots, you could be wiped out Friday. Just be aware of that. But other than that, we've got 45 of the world top 50 competing this week. 44, I think. Bob's out, so now it's 43. 43 of the top 50 out at a golf course that I really, really like. And there are some players who, there are horses for courses, but it's hard to win this tournament multiple times. There just aren't many of them. Tiger Woods won this, like five times, but most players do not have but a win in this tournament. It means something to win this tournament. It's hard to do. Some of that's luck. A lot of that is just being in the right place at the right time, right game at the right time. I think this golf course very much favors a strong tee to green game. The greens are very fast, very punishing if you miss on the wrong side. So you need to be able to kind of not compound your mistakes. Bogeys are better than double bogeys. Double bogeys, triples, those are out there and they'll kill you and that's the end of your tournament. You got to realize when you make mistakes to take your medicine and just kind of move on. And there is a reluctance to do that from some players because this is a regular tournament, it's not a major. And if you think about it that way, you're just going to get smoked. So you need to be able to kind of plot your way around. And when things go wrong, don't make it worse. Just do the best that you can. And that all said, let's take a look at the top of the table and we'll work our way down. Scottie Scheffler is 3.6 to 1 or plus 360. I've seen him at 4 to 1. Obviously, there's been a little bit of action on him. Xander Schauffele and Rory McIlroy are 9 to 1 each. They both make sense to me. Rory does not have a good record here. Scottie doesn't really have a great record here. Xander does in that he can get into the top 15 pretty easily. But he struggled to get into the top 10. So he has good finishes, but not necessarily a chance to win. Colin Morikawa is 14 to 1. He's won here when it was like the Workday Charity Open. Remember in the COVID era when they had back-to-back tournaments at Jack's Place in an effort to try to have like a pod thing? They did that, right? That worked for him. He played, and that was exceptionally difficult scoring conditions that week. That might be a nod to Morikawa. Victor Hovland is the defending champion, 18 to 1. I think you've got to be careful thinking about Hovland here. Don't let the exuberance of the PGA Championship carry you too far because he's still figuring things out with Joe Mayo. And while he played a great PGA Championship, you don't know what they're working on, right? Did that 30-minute session that fixed him at least well enough to try to win the PGA Championship, does that need tweaking, or are they good? I don't know. Ludvig Åberg is 22-1. Not great at the PGA Championship. That injury may still be lingering. I'm going to stay away. He could play great, but I just have reason to stay away. Patrick Cantlay is 25-1. Great record in this tournament. Plays it very well. But he's not had the best year. And I feel like he has been an absolute dud otherwise. It's hard to put money on him at 25-1 when I know he just has not played very well. Justin Thomas is 28-1, pass. Although we did see some good stuff at the PGA Championship, but I don't think this is his kind of golf course. Tommy Fleetwood, 35-1, could be his kind of golf course, but never wins in America. Russell Henley and Hideki, 40-1. I get behind Hideki. I can definitely get behind Hideki at 40-1. Wyndham Clark, 45, no thank you. Tom Kim, 45, yes, thank you. That sounds great. Sahith Theegala and Max Homa, Corey Connors, they're all 45-1 each. Max Homa could be an interesting buy-low spot because he played so poorly at Colonial. And I think the public and the books are really quick to dismiss him when he plays poorly. So you get odds like this, and you're like, well, that's... And I said this a few years ago. If you ever see Max Homa at 50-1 and above, you bet him just out of principle. Not quite there, but that might be a bet for me. Corey Connors played pretty well, had a really nice round on Sunday and in Canada. He's never really shown a lot on this golf course, neither is Sahith for that matter. I would love to say Sahith's playing great, but it's just not there at the moment. Sungjae Seewoo, Sam Burns, Matt Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth, Ben On, who had a chance to win here, Alex Noren, 50-1. Of those, Sungjae's starting to show some stuff. I don't think it's there yet. Sam Burns had a nice week at the Canadian Open, which I thought was kind of surprising. I didn't expect him to play particularly well. It's been such a weird up and down year for him, it's hard to bet him. Fitzpatrick could play really well here. It could be the kind of golf course that he thrives upon. Might put a pin in him for 50-1. Spieth has a good record here, but he feels so lost right now. It just feels like he's nowhere near it. And yet at the same time, he thinks he's doing great stuff. So you never know how far away someone really is, but the results have not been good recently. Ben Odds had a great year, ball striking wise. Be cool for him to come back here and get that breakthrough. But again, him and Noren, I can't bet them. Not at this kind of price. I know they're great players, like the Steven Yeager effect. I know you're great players, and I know that you can win, but I can't bet you at that price. Tony Finau, 55-1. I could bet at that price. Not a great record in this tournament, but I could bet him at that price. Better guy I like, 60-1. Give me Shane Lowry. I think he's in a place, a good place, and he could thrive on a golf course like this. He's played okay at this tournament in the past. Sepp Straka, Keegan Bradley, Cam Young, Billy Horschel, all 60-1. Billy Horschel's done the job here. He's played pretty well, played well at the PGA, played well enough at Colonial. I think that's worth a look. Bunch of people have bet Will Zalatoris. I saw him at 75-1 earlier in the day. He's 65-1 now. Ugh, that putting. No. Jason Day is at the same number. Denny McCarthy is 70-1. Again, I love Denny, obviously. I would want to bet him. He got into a playoff here last year. Plays this tournament well, for whatever reason. For a guy who does not drive the ball very well, he plays this tournament very well. So it's just something he likes about it. Take with that what you will. Maybe that's a top 10 bet, but plus 450 instead. 80s, Harmon English posted in Hoagie. I feel like the window on Hoagie's kind of closed for now. Poston's been playing okay. Harris English been playing pretty okay. I could see a sprinkling on either of those guys. I'll stay away from Harmon for now. I don't think he's in the best spot. Glover Kitayama, Zadenhoyt, 100-1 each. Glover's been playing pretty okay. I could get behind that. That would probably be the one I get behind most. I love Kitayama on a tough layout because he won an API when scoring was so very difficult. But maybe that's a live play, or maybe you like him at a plus 650 on a top 10. Tom Dietrich, Steven Yeager, Mac Hughes, Akshay Bhatia, 110-1 each. I could get in on the Mac Hughes train here. I liked what I saw, and I liked him as kind of a low Canadian. Talked about him with a buddy I talked about with betting. I like that 110-1 price on Mac Hughes. Steven Yeager could play very well here. He could. I don't think this is the kind of venue, but I think he could play well here. Mac Hughes, 110-1, I think I can like quite a bit. 130-1. Taylor Moore, Ricky Fowler, Davis Thompson, Chris Kirk, Ben Griffin, Austin Eckroat, and Andrew Putnam. Of those, I'm not going to bet Ricky Fowler to win a golf tournament these days, but Ricky Fowler has a very good record in this tournament. Just saying. Ben Griffin's been playing very well. Runner-up in Canada. Just been playing well the last month, month and a half. I could see him as a surprise champion here. Austin Eckroat had himself a very nice PGA championship. I don't think he's ready for this quite yet, but good player. And maybe you got to keep an eye on early on if you want to think about a live number. 150s, Victor Perez, Lee Hodges, Adam Hadwin, Taylor Pendrith, 180-1. Those, maybe, no. I mean, I like Victor Perez. I just don't like him in this tournament. 180, Taylor Pendrith, Patrick Rogers, Davis Riley. No. 201, Seamus Power, perhaps. Cam Davis, M. Svensson, M. Schenk are all 201. And then starts to get a little darker, and we'll just leave that all alone. I think it's hard to find a value in this tournament because it's hard to win this tournament and be a true horse for course. You can be a good ball striker and get kind of close. You can have like a good two-year run, but not a sustained run. It is very difficult to be very good on this golf course for a long period of time. It just is. That's what makes Tiger being so successful at this tournament even more of a freak occurrence. Of the guys that are kind of the top, I think Morikawa is a decent value at 14-1. Again, you have to hope that he putts on Sunday, like with an actual putter, instead of whatever he was doing at Valhalla. Fine. I could get behind Hideki Matsuyama at 40-1. I really like Russell Henley's game. I just have an aversion to betting him. Tom Kim at 45-1, I really, really like. And I tend to kind of have my eye drawn to these types of ranges where 45, 50, you think, well, they're priced poorly for whatever reason, so surely, you know, they're the one to kind of bet. I think Tom Kim and Max Homa are worth it. Tom Kim more than Max Homa. But Max does have a good record in this tournament, and that is worth noting. And I think he does kind of get up for these hero tournaments. Loves playing Tigers tournament, won Tigers tournament. Loves playing in the Masters, got close to the Masters. Loves playing Jack's tournament, has a good record here. So that is worth considering. Just something to think about there, maybe a motivation. I could see a Matt Fitzpatrick, but I think you're probably better looking at a Finau or a Lowry, and then maybe a Billy Horschel, who's been playing very good this year. But if you're trying to compare Shane Lowry and Billy Horschel, I think Shane Lowry is a better play, but Billy Horschel is worth a look. And then I do like that Lucas Glover 100-1, and I do like Matt Hughes 110-1. I'm not going to put a lot of money on this week, to be honest with you. Again, I just don't like betting this tournament because there's nothing. It's very hard to feel affirmed about your choices versus last week. I didn't even know the venue and I felt really good about what I was suggesting because you could tell from the way the course was designed and comparable courses, you could see some parallels. There really isn't a good parallel to this course on the PGA Tour. Bay Hill plays hard, but it's a different kind of hard. It's Florida hard. Some of it's wind. A lot of it is just kind of water everywhere. That's not, I mean, there's water a lot of places on this course, but this course isn't water everywhere. It's just precision everywhere. It's a little bit more luck, I feel like, at Bay Hill at times. And then you get into, I mean, what other tournament is like this? The U.S. Open doesn't play this style of golf anymore. Doesn't mean it's not hard. It's just a little different than this style, especially this year. So you've got a hard time making comparisons. And you don't play a lot of Nicklaus courses on the PGA Tour. I mean, I realize we played Valhalla, but that golf course, in comparison to this one, stinks. I mean, it's just not even close. Muirfield demands a lot more, is a lot more interesting to the player than Valhalla. And Valhalla is a world-class golf course, but Muirfield is just that much better. So Muirfield Village is a unique test on the PGA Tour. Makes it hard to bet. Maybe some live options are good. Again, I'm not a huge fan of derivative plays, but if you're looking this week, thinking about your top 20s, your top 30s, your top 40s, the value is not going to be quite as good because there's fewer players in the field. Once you get to the cut, obviously, and the cut could be as few as zero people or it could be as many as 20-some-odd people, 22, 23 people, right? If you had 50 exactly. So you don't get quite the value that you want, but like a Tom Kim top 20 makes sense, a Max Homa top 20 makes sense, at plus money, a Decky or Tommy Fleetwood makes sense for a top 20. Those are all plus money plays. Yeah, maybe a Connors, certainly a Shane Lowry, a plus 175, a Denny I like, a plus 180. You know, those are decent plays that you could have as kind of your backup, or if you want to spend some more money for less potential return, maybe that's the way you go this week. You want a bigger spread, a bigger opportunity. It is hard to predict a winner in this tournament. That is generally also true in tournaments where the rough is just mega deep and thick. It's just the way that it is. So that might invite top 20s more this week. Top 40s, I really don't think are worth it. I mean, you don't get to plus money until you start to see guys that are like 250 to 1, right? I don't think there's any value in that whatsoever this week, given a 73-player field. So if you are a derivative player and you typically like your top 40s, go into the top 20s, maybe a top 30. Just if you're going to try and split the difference, top 30, you start to get to plus money at guys who are 100 to 1. Lucas Glover, Kurt Kitayama, Harris English is 80 to 1. He's even money. Okay? So maybe Harris English at even money is worth it. I like his game. I like how it can fit this venue. But you can't bet 40s. It's just, they're worthless. You can get a couple values in the 30s if you like guys that are kind of 100, 110 to 130 to 1. But I think your best play, if you're going to play a derivative play this week, is in the 20s, top 20 plays. And then a couple top 10s maybe, if you like such things. I feel like the top 20 play is just a better general play for the money, for the return. Because, yes, the difference is substantial. I mean, top 20 for Xander Schauffele is minus 300. It's minus 115 on a top 10. I get that there's a substantial difference. But those 10 places are worth a lot, especially in a tournament where, and this is something you may have noticed over the years, I do leaderboards every single week for every major event on every major tour. If you look at leaderboards, things start to clump up around 12th, 14th, 15th position, where you suddenly start to get 5, 6, 7, 9 guys tied for a position. So top 20 includes ties, right? So if you start getting clumps, maybe you get a bunch of guys tied for 15th. Oh, tied 19th, there's 11 guys. Now all of a sudden you've got 30 guys to work with, kind of thing. That's what makes 20s interesting to me. To a lesser degree, 30s and 40s. 40 is, hey, you made the cut and you're pretty decent. Most weeks. This week's different, right? Top 30, I don't see as that much different than a 20. I'll just take the 20. Because 20 is almost always more than 20. It's 22, it's 25, it's 28. You get more guys than 20. So the value is there to play that. The fives, not so much. There's not usually like a 10-way tie for fifth. That very rarely happens. There's not typically a big tie beyond like a tie for sixth, tie for seventh. Those are typically 3 to 4 players, occasionally five. But you're not going to get like a 10-way tie for eighth. Those things don't happen. That's not where the bunching happens. It's in the 20s. So just a thing to think about how leaderboards are constructed and how tournaments finish, that how people playing in a tournament differentiate themselves and where the differentiation really starts. Just something to think about. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Tomorrow we will talk about the model for the week. We'll also talk about the horses for courses. We'll talk about current form, all those good things. And then on Wednesday, we'll go through the full slate, LIV, LPGA, DP World Tour, just a few minutes on the champions, and the Korn Ferry Tour as well. If you have any questions, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. On Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky, @RyanBallenge, Facebook and YouTube, Ryan Ballenge Golf. Join Golf News Net for $40 a year, or $10 for 1 week, if you so choose, at golfnewsnet.com. Happy to have you be a part of the family. Thanks for listening to the show. Talk to you next time on The Press.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc. See.